Well, folks, we're back at the National Travel and Tourism Week luncheon at the Hyatt Regency being hosted by New Orleans and Company. The room is filling up. Sold out event today. We're very excited to be here. And one of the things that they do here at this luncheon is they recognize folks for their contribution to travel and tourism. And we are fortunate enough to have the Industry Champion Award honoree, who is Chef Dee Levine, CEO and owner of Delightful Rue School of Cooking. Dee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Folks, y'all are missing this incredibly beautiful smile this lady has. She lights up a room right away. So let's talk about this recognition, you know, for you today. What does it mean? What does it mean to you?
That's really big. I definitely did not expect it, but I am very, very excited. It just really, it's kind of my pat on the back for everything that I've been doing. I have been in just 100% on the forefront of talking about Louisiana cuisine and really, really sharing the history and the stories, and I get to share the food as well. So this is really, really amazing.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that makes New Orleans and Louisiana incredibly unique.
Correct. We are beyond any other place. This could not have been done anywhere else in the world but here. And we have the legacy, we have the culture, of course we have the food, we have the music. Everything comes and plays very, very well together. And it's been like that for generations, and I don't see it going anywhere else.
You know what's interesting is there's not many cultures and or places that have what is traditionally viewed as a unique cuisine, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, when you think about people's stories and countries and where they come from, it's usually just one thing. So if you could, you know, just imagine New York. New York is 100% known for being Italian, right? Mm-hmm. Even though there's still other cultures that are there, that's the big one. Here, it's different. And I think the difference came in is there were so many people that really wanted to be a part of this culture. They didn't try to take it over. They really just tried to say, hey, this is going to be my contribution. You know, can we use this and kind of put something together? And that's really what happened. And that's why we are incredible.
Very complimentary, right?
100%.
Approach. So you have the Delightful Rue School of Cooking. You're located in Central City,
yep,
right?
That's correct. Inside the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. We just celebrated our fourth anniversary in February. And I don't see us going anywhere soon.
So tell us about that experience. It's an instructional experience,
yep.
Right?
So we do a 100% hands-on cooking demonstration. We do a cooking class. We get travelers from all over the world that want to learn Louisiana cuisine, and no one better to learn from than a native.
And what are folks' reaction? Especially when you tell them all the critters that we actually cook that, here.
Well, we don't call them critters. We call them variety of proteins. But yeah, there's so much that happens.
Because we don't want to turn them off from the very beginning.
You can't.
Right?
I just tell them that if you find yourself somewhere farther than New Orleans and somebody's got some meat in the gravy, if you like it, eat it. If you don't, but don't ask them what it is.
Yes. What do you find that people are most surprised about with our style of our cuisine?
First of all, everybody thinks that New Orleans food has some kind of magic in it, right? It's really mystical. But the secret is time. I think people don't realize that it's the time that actually makes the food better. So when we go through the recipes that I teach them, we focus on the time and how to build flavor. And instantly, within 5 minutes of starting, they're like, oh my goodness, how come no one ever told me this? But it's just really showing them how to build flavor and how to build Louisiana flavor.
Because you don't build it by just throwing
You do not.
Some granular ingredients on top of something, right?
No way. We do. We try to do as fresh products as we can. You know, obviously, we still cook things out of season, but we try to be as local as possible. And we really start from the beginning. I mean, literally, everything that they put in, it's usually made either by us or by them.
So the delightful roux, there's all kinds of styles of roux. What is your signature style?
My signature style that I love is chocolate roux. I live in the land of chocolate roux. I think it has the most flavor, even though it's not as versatile with many other dishes. But the flavor that it's going to bring, the time that it takes to make, it's incredible. A lot of people can't make it because they're afraid. It's not that they can't. They're just nervous. They're like, I'm going too far. Is that enough? I'm like, we're not even halfway there. We got to keep going. It's this little uncomfortable space that you have to live in to find the magic of the flavor of a chocolate roux.
I get the sense that you cook by the feel, by the aroma.
Correct.
And you're not putting 3 grains of this or 2 grains of that.
All right. So as a cook, you are able to add a little bit more.
Right.
So we do some basic knowledge. Like, okay, if you cut a regular size onion, it will give you 2 cups diced, right? So if you have a little bit, it's not going to ruin your dish.
Right.
So we kind of cook that way. I show them that, you know, if you have a little extra, or maybe you don't have that thing at home, you could use this instead. But yeah, I want them to smell, listen, taste, right? Visually see all of those things help your food taste 3,000 times better.
Now you bring to a multicultural influence to your style of cooking.
That's correct.
African American.
Yes.
First African American school of cooking in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, over 8 years.
What is the uniqueness of that as you complement this kind of Cajun cuisine that we're known for?
So the uniqueness is I actually get to show people the food that I was raised on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants to kind of scoop Louisiana, even New Orleans, into one bowl. But there's still many different cultural differences with dishes, even within that. I mean, gumbo is one of them. You know, especially if you're in New Orleans, depending on where you live, determines what kind of gumbo you're going to make, right? So even just small details like that is really what sets me apart.
It's interesting. I grew up in a Hispanic culture. My dad was a French-speaking Acadian. But my mom's style of cooking, like when you talk about the chocolate roux, I think of mole.
Yeah, correct.
You know, and that style, very similar, right?
Yeah, very, very similar. Even almost identical in color. Almost very, very close.
Yeah,
I mean, it's still, we were a land that people came here and they tried to see how close they could get to some of the things that they love from the countries they came from. And so it's like you are talking to someone, you know, it's like, listen, can you make this? I've heard, you know, what do you have? So just that mix of seasonal items versus what you would normally make is why we have dishes that really look similar to others, but taste incredibly different.
So Dee, let me ask you this question. Did you ever think that you would have this influence in tourism, you know, where you get to share your life experiences, and obviously I see it written all over your face just while you're talking about this, your love, your passion, your compassion with people, and that you would have a chance to sit on a stage figuratively and do that?
No, never. Growing up in New Orleans, you know, I never really figured I would be a chef. We could start there. You know, my path was on the pathway of being an accountant.
Oh my God.
Did not work out, obviously. It did not work out. But I mean, I will say that I kept a positive attitude. I stayed open. I was open to possibility. I always loved being in a space of teaching, which is why I think it was easier for me to kind of fall in this. I remember my very first home ec teachers in high school. I was like, this is an awesome job. Like, I wouldn't mind doing this. And then, of course, the opportunity kind of presented itself as an idea, and the rest is actual history.
So, you know, being honored today as an industry champion award, obviously, is a recognition of all of the, you know, I was talking with both Walt and Jeremy earlier about the nuances in this industry, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, you represent one of those nuances.
That's great.
You know, cooking schools here. I've traveled abroad a couple of times, and they market cooking schools, you know, in Italy and Croatia, you know, and so forth. It's always kind of interesting to me. But I wanted to ask you this question. What is your favorite dish to cook, and what is your favorite dish to consume?
I love that question. Okay, so my favorite dish to cook is New Orleans-style barbecue shrimp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's so different than what you think is going to happen.
Right.
From the beginning to the end. And once you get to the end, you are mind blown.
So everyone has a secret ingredient. What's yours?
I'll tell you offline. There's always a secret ingredient. Are you kidding me? Everybody has a secret ingredient. I'll tell you later.
She's quick, folks. Look, I had her. I almost had her giving us
you can come and cook with me, and then I'll tell you my secret ingredient. How about that?
So what's your favorite dish to consume?
So my favorite dish to eat is chicken piccata.
Oh, really?
I am an Italian. I love Italian food.
Yeah,
100%
so
my love language. And, yeah, that's the one thing I think I could never get tired of in my life. I could just constantly eat it.
You know, it's interesting. I love all cuisines.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a favorite in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. I guess I would probably be drawn to Italian food more than any other.
Yeah. Between Italian and Mediterranean, I can really live in. But yeah, I love pretty much all cuisine. I haven't really found something that it's like never eaten that. I'm open to trying anything, and I'm open to trying to cook anything.
Now, do you talk at all about pairing to like a beverage?
We do a little bit. We do a little bit of, obviously, I'm not a sommelier, but I do have a little bit of wine background. So, yeah, we do talk about pairing different foods to different wines and even beers, because we have a really big local beer scene. So, yeah.
Yeah. And do you find that the folks that attend your school, that there's an interest in that? Do they ask if we have, like, unique wines or
stuff? So, first of all, everybody that comes to New Orleans comes to eat, they come to party, listen to music, and they come to drink. Whether they want to admit it or not, they're here for those things. And so, yeah, they are often open to see what we have locally that's different,
right?
You know, because it's something that they won't be able to get in their hometown. And so, yeah, they want to know all of it. They want to be able to share in the full experience.
Now, here in this city, there is a nuance of food that we refer to as soul food.
Mm. Yes.
And in that category, what is your favorite dish to cook, and what is your favorite dish to consume?
So, soul food, I would say my favorite dish to make is baked macaroni, right? So we do macaroni and cheese, baked macaroni. That would be my favorite to make. My favorite to eat is greens. I love greens. Collard greens, mustard greens. I love greens. And I will tell you, my secret to greens is Tasso.
Tasso?
Yep. All right, that's it. That's
so
the only secret.
My favorite dish is a roux, medium brown roux, turkey necks.
Mm-hmm.
With bacon,
mm-hmm,
and collard greens.
All right, so as you're talking about that, my brain is giving me the signals for the smells,
yes,
of what that is. So, yeah, definitely paired well. I would say the only thing I would add to that is like a yam.
Yeah.
You could get a yam on the side of that, that'd be perfect.
When I was a young man, I was coming up through the ranks in the sheriff's office in New Orleans. I had a commander who was a reverend, and every Friday, he would take me to a different restaurant that he went to as he grew up. And he exposed me to that particular dish. And he would start, you know, on Thursday. He says, all right, where are we going tomorrow? But he goes, I'm not eating turkey now.
When you get in there,
I said,
like,
well, it just surprised me, brother. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, that's
I mean,
okay.
That's my
off
favorite.
The list, whatever.
I said, you ruined me, but that, you know, that's okay. You know, just tease me with it forever.
Oh,
you
my
know,
goodness. But. I love that. I love that.
But congratulations
Thank
to you.
Thank you so
obviously,
much.
It's very exciting for me to get a chance to meet you.
Yes.
I've heard a lot about you. We love what you do for our visitors here. We love what you do
Thank you.
For folks in this industry, and obviously so do a lot of other people, because you are this year's Industry Champion Award honoree, Chef D. Levine.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
My pleasure, too. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We're at the Hyatt Regency for the National Travel and Tourism Week luncheon put on by New Orleans Zen Company. We'll be right back. We are back, folks, and the crowd is massive here. I'm really excited for New Orleans and Company and the National Travel and Tourism Week luncheon here at the Hyatt Regency. We are joined by the 54th Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Newell.
Billy, I got to tell you, I looked at the video that y'all produced to promote Louisiana. Incredibly done, well done. I mean, it's going to be impactful.
Well, thank you. You know, we got a great team, and I've been all over the state this week, National Tourism, and the people, really, to say thank you. Thank you to New Orleans and Company, the team here, the restaurants, the hotels, everyone that works in the hotel industry, the swamp tours, the museums. We got the best people in the world.
Yep.
And as I travel the world and I ask travel agents, why do you send people to Louisiana? Well, you hear about the food and the music and the culture, but every one of them has a story about the way we treat people. We treat strangers like family, and they leave with a friend for life and just keep coming back for more. So these 45 million people visited Louisiana last year and spent $19 billion. Those numbers belong to every Louisianan because of the way we treat people, and I'm just so proud of that.
I don't know if you heard this morning, New Orleans and Company released their numbers for the city of New Orleans, 19.46 million, 2% increase over last year, second highest year in the history of the city of New Orleans.
Let me tell you, every year since COVID, we've been gaining, and other states have seen a dip, and they keep saying, you're going to have a down year, and we haven't. And whatever the challenges have been, you know, the international market, the Canada, when the president called it the 51st state, we've lost a lot international. Partnering with all our partners around the state, we've been able to make that up with domestic travel and drive market. So the team, New Orleans and Company, and working with our Doug and our tourism team and the other partners around the state, they pivot well to make sure we're getting the most bang for our buck and bringing visitors here.
Let's talk about IPW, which is the Inbound Travel Trade Show. They've announced that they're going to be here in 2027. I think they're in Florida next week, I think.
Right. I'm going over there to welcome them all to Louisiana next year.
That's a big deal for us.
It is. And look, I just got back from the Lieutenant Governor's Conference, and Deputy Assistant Secretary Robert O'Leary spoke. He is the National Travel Tourism Office in Washington. And he said, I got some good news. 2028, 29, and 30, the international market is going to come back strong. People will be over the tariffs and all the negative press we've gotten. And so next year, 2027, we're hosting. So what a year to host when they're expecting three boom years after that. So it's perfect. It's a Super Bowl of tourism. Every country in the world will be here, and we'll be able to share all of Louisiana with them.
I've got a great marketing plan. You can say the momentum started with us.
Absolutely.
we just soon start staying at now, right?
I'm all on board.
So I know that you have been going around the state. In fact, I'm going to see you at 2 o'clock at Torino Bell Company, made in Louisiana, your Made in Louisiana tour.
Yeah.
You must have about three or four tours going on at the same time.
Well, the thing is, we like to highlight all those products made here. Like at the Rose Parade last year, we brought Mike Strain and we bought all those certified Louisiana products. And people, we did interviews all over the world, and people actually called in them after the interview. How do I get Uncle Larry's? He actually gave some to a lady from L.A. She drove an hour to get Uncle Larry's a barbecue mix or whatever, one of his roux. So everywhere we go in the world, we like to bring these great Louisiana products and share them with the world. So going there just to highlight what they do and making those belts here in Louisiana, we want to always partner with that, the economic benefit of tourism and our products.
I was talking to some folks from different areas of the state several weeks back. Actually, it was during Jazz Fest. And was talking to a number of food vendors. They were really excited about this collaborative effort between your office and the local tourism folks. You know, a lot of them don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of infrastructure, but they got a lot of heart, man.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we committed to after COVID is that we were going to make sure every fair and festival was successful. Some of them, you got to spend a little more money to get the word out. But like the Omelet Festival, they said, look, we need 1,000 people to make money for these vendors. So we push it out on social media till we know 1,000 people are going to go there. But those fair and festivals, most of them don't get paid anything. Mm-hmm. They work year-round to put those. The Strawberry Fest is a great example. Nobody gets paid. And they work year-round. And we got over 400 fairs and festivals. If you can eat it, drink it, shoot it, dance it, we name a festival. What a great tool in our toolbox that on any given weekend, there's so many events going on all over Louisiana to market and sell our state.
I think Strawberry Fest had over 300,000 people attend. Is that right?
Yeah, it's every year. It's crazy. Look at Jazz Fest this year. Knocked it out the park. I don't think you see the aerial shots. I don't think you could fit one more person in that crowd. It was incredible.
There was a day it took me an hour to get in, but it was worth it. You know, no complaints. I complained a little bit because I'm not a line guy.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't go this year, but next year we'll go together because the good thing about being lieutenant governor, the state trooper drives you in the back gate and you just step over the railroad, over the track, and you're there.
Be careful. I'll take you up on that offer for sure. What else do we see coming our way?
Well, I think this is going to be a great year in tourism. As we look at all of the opportunities around the country. Now, we always pivot. You know, we see gas prices up. Airline tickets are going up. So we're going to look hard at the drive market, short drive market. We're also going to revisit what we did a few years ago coming out of COVID was the staycation. We ask every Louisiana family, take one vacation. You normally leave town. Go see a part of Louisiana you haven't seen. I promise you're going to love it. You know, so getting Louisianans to move around the state is important, and it saves a, you know, rather than drive 3 hours to, you know, Destin or somewhere and spend that high gas prices, make that trip around Louisiana, save a little money, and keep that money here at home. And so we're going to make a real push this year to get more Louisianans to see things in their own backyard and visit somewhere they hadn't been in Louisiana.
And that's important because as those dollars turn over in that little microeconomy, whether it's the city, Shreveport, Monroe, or otherwise Alec, you know, Lake Charles, those microeconomies get the benefit of that spend.
Absolutely. You know, we're also really working hard to do the private-public partnerships at our state parks. You know, we did the bike trail at Boca Chica. Everybody laughed and said nobody's going to Washington Parish to ride a bike. Well, we get over 20 states, over 2,000 people a month drive to go ride the number two mountain bike trail in the country of Boca Chica. And last week, I got an email from a guy who owns an engineering firm in South Carolina, New Orleans. And he said, Lieutenant Governor, I want to thank you. I had trouble getting some of my engineers to relocate to New Orleans, but 8 of them volunteered because they're mountain bikers and they love going to Boca Chica. So I never thought of Boca Chica, the mountain bike, the horseback riding, all these things we're doing at the parks, helping economic get people to move back here because they love the outdoors. You know, we're working hard on the bike trails throughout Louisiana, and also we have a new bird trail. This year we're promoting the great outdoors of Louisiana. I tell people you can fish anywhere, but you catch fish in Louisiana. And so we're going to promote all the great things to do, the Chaffalai Basin, and get people outdoors in Louisiana this year, both for the locals and the visitors alike.
One thing about Louisiana is you're going to catch more fish faster than any other place in the world.
Absolutely. You know, it amazes me how the charter fishing has taken off and people coming from all over the world to fish here. And I remember a guy that used to keep his boat down in Venice. He said, you know, I come here, I got this great boat, we go out, and he said, it's really cheap, but my wife stays at the Fairmont and spends more money shopping while I'm out fishing. So I didn't realize the fishing actually helped the economy in New Orleans. People come in here with their wives and they do the shopping while they go fishing. But it is a draw for people all over the world, and we do, you know, you can catch fish. You got fresh saltwater, offshore, inland. It's just a great place, and sometimes we take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know that you got to get inside, get ready, because you're addressing the group today.
I see that. They got my picture on the invite.
They got your picture on the invite. Yeah. I think they might have brushed that one. I mean, you're looking good in that picture. But we'll see you later on at Torino Belt Company, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Great to be with you, Neil. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir. That's Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, the 54th Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. That's right, folks. Welcome back. We are excited to celebrate New Orleans and the tourism industry that drives the world's most friendly and fascinating city, the place that we call home. And we're very fortunate. We are joined by the Lifetime Achievement honoree, Arthur Hardy, joins us. Congratulations,
Thank
Arthur.
Thank you, Neil. Good morning. Yeah, this is quite an honor. This is a big deal, and I'm very honored and humbled to receive it. I wasn't expecting
it. Well, you know, most people don't really recognize or connect the dots, I think, to the fact that how intrinsically linked what you did to both the New Orleans travel and tourism industry. And you made it happen. You made it happen in a very special way, pictorially, with the word, orally, and the way that you promoted. And I'm not overstating this.
Thank you for that.
And the way that you presented Mardi Gras.
Well, all you have to do is tell the truth, you know, get the facts. I mean, really, you don't have to embellish Mardi Gras. If you tell a story, it's unbelievable.
That was your secret recipe, huh?
Yeah. Tell the truth, pal. I mean, really, it's a remarkable thing that we do here. You know, other cities spend a fortune competing for the right to host a Super Bowl, Olympics, or World Cup. We get Mardi Gras every year. You know, we don't. It's like a birthright. We don't have to earn it. It's ours. And what a wonderful thing it is that we do here.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, of how much your presentation of Mardi Gras was so linked to this industry and added to the promotion. I mean, I talk about how competitive this business is all the time.
It is, yeah.
You know that, obviously. Yeah. And you have to work hard to set yourself apart. And what you did with the magazine and your shows on TV and being the ambassador for the city of New Orleans and Mardi Gras, this is a well-deserved recognition of your efforts.
It means a lot to me. A lot of good folks here, and looking forward to hearing Billy Nungesser and our new mayor, Helena Moreno, who I used to work with Channel 6, hear their comments today about how vital tourism is to not just, you know, we say New Orleans, but let's face it, it's the whole state. It's a regional success story, and Mardi Gras drives that engine. There's no doubt about that.
So, you miss it yet?
Well, I haven't stopped yet. You know, everybody during Mardi Gras said, hey, we got to have lunch. I said, catch me in Lent. Well, Lent started. All right, man, let's go to lunch. I think I did more lunches and dinners and breakfasts in Lent than I did the last 2 years. So we're playing catch up. And, the Picayune took over our magazine, and the Mardi Gras guy will continue. And they've kind of brought me back as a consultant, not to do any work, but just to say, hey, here's some things you might want to check out.
Right.
So I'll still have my fingers in it, but I'm looking forward to doing something new, you know, especially family. We've got two grandkids in New Orleans and two in Oslo, Norway. We hope to visit more often. So,
absolutely.
You know, but I think, you have to know when it's time to leave the party, and I'll be 80 years old next month, so this was a good time.
You think there's a, because you've already published a book, if my memory
is right. I've published several books, yeah.
So is there another book?
No, I don't think so. At least my wife tells me I don't think so.
You're a smart man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, she's the book. No, listen, she's been the driving force behind this whole enterprise. You know, I tell everybody I'm just a pretty face. And they say, oh, you're really in trouble.
Yeah, well, my wife says I have a face for radio.
Yeah, well, there you go. I resemble that remark, right? No, but it's been a good run, and happy to see that, you know, the magazine will continue.
Yeah. People don't realize how hard it is to publish a book. And
oh,
write a book.
Man.
You know,
I didn't realize.
A lot of friends, a lot of faces here.
Yes.
Already this morning. And I guess it's, what does it mean to you? You
know? Well, it's just fabulous for somebody to think that you've made a contribution. I mean, we've been doing this so long, we kind of take it for granted, you know, and it's nice. I mean, how could it be anything other than wonderful for somebody to say, hey, what you did is important, and I'm grateful.
Because you don't really think about it when you're in the thick of things, right?
No, you can't.
You're not one that's consumed with oneself. It was always about, you know, the betterment of Mardi Gras, the industry itself, the importance of the industry, and how it evolves.
Yeah, and it's we've seen a lot of changes in Mardi Gras, and I think there may be some more coming, and I hope they're good. You know, whenever a new administration comes in, the carnival community gets real nervous. Like, will they be Mardi Gras friendly? Will they get it? You know, because even though people live here, they don't necessarily understand the intricacies of it. You saw that in Jefferson Parish when people said, well, let's put all the parades in one day. Well, you can't, because some of those floats already come. Oh, I didn't know about floats being committed to another. You know, so the logistics of Mardi Gras are very complex, and you need a good understanding of it before you start passing laws. And
the breadth and depth of reuse in Mardi Gras is pretty substantial.
It is, and you need to understand that. But I'm very hopeful. I think the mayor's off to a great start, and I applaud her efforts so far. And she had a big hole to dig us out of, and I think she's doing it.
No doubt. There's a vibe. You can feel it.
Yes, you can. It's a lot of optimism, and I just hope people will be patient, because you can't turn this aircraft carrier around on a dime.
Oh, no. And, you know, and I remind folks, math has no emotion. It is what it is. Uh-huh. And when it'll slap you in the face in a hard way.
It sure will.
In a hard way.
Yep. But I think
the Mardi Gras crews have recognized for years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's I'm optimistic, but we shall see what's coming down the pike.
Well, congratulations again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
well deserved. And I'm just really happy that it's a recognition of the role that you played in the development of tourism in this city and how important that was. A lot of time these nuances are overlooked. Under Walt's leadership, Walt Leger's leadership, it seems though they've got their eye on the ball all the time.
Oh, they do, and they've got a heck of a job to do, and they're doing it well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Noel.
Congratulations to you.
Appreciate you.
The wife, the family, everyone, because everybody played a part.
Oh, you better believe it. It took more than a village.
Yeah. Folks, the Lifetime Achievement honoree, Arthur Hardy. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Just a reminder, folks, WWL is your home for LSU baseball. This weekend, the Tigers play a 3-game SEC series at Georgia. You can hear the games here on WWL. Game 1 is today at 5 o'clock, pregame 4:30. Tomorrow's game, 6 p.m., pregame 5:30. And Game 3 between the Tigers and the Bulldogs is Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with the pregame occurring at 1:30. Catch all the exciting SEC action here on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Tigers. And today at 4 on Sports Talk, you can visit with Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak. Get the latest Saints news from rookie minicamp, along with the top sound bites from the locker room. Is Jordan Tyson the missing piece to unlock Kellen Moore's offense? And can Georgia defensive tackle Kristen Miller be the immediate gap filler this defensive line needs? And at 4:30, that LSU baseball begins its 3-game series right there at Georgia. And folks, in the final hour of our presentation today here at the National Travel and Tourism Week luncheon that's being hosted by New Orleans and Company, We're going to get to visit with some really interesting folks. The industry champion award honoree are Andrew Hartson and Sergio Lopez. Andrew is the assistant curator of the Africa exhibit at the Audubon Zoo. So he takes care of provides world-class animal care with engaging storytelling at the zoo. And I promise you, he's got some crazy stories to tell about the animals, their conduct, their behavior at the Africa exhibit. And Sergio Lopez is the maitre d' at Annunciation Restaurant. He has a career that spans 50 years. I've probably known Sergio 30 of those 50 years. And I'm sure that he's got some interesting story about human behavior at restaurants across the city that he can share. We'll have them both here with us at the same time. So we'll do the compare and contrast of human behavior, animal behavior, and the stories that these guys have to tell. They would, I got to imagine, if they wrote books, Luke, who knows what what that would be like. Be some interesting reading for sure. We'll be right back. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We're having a blast here at the National Travel and Tourism Week luncheon. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.